It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, Coach, don't you run the tush-push a lot?
So if you're so concerned about the force and posture of your players and the data, which there has never been an injury caused from the tush-push, is so concerning to you that you think it needs to be banned, then why do you run it?
He just sounds lost. You're not making, like, I don't even know what he's trying to say. It's almost that Sean McDermott just knows that he's got, right?
It would almost be like if Sean McDermott was a parent and you tell your kid, hey, don't drink soda, right? Soda's bad for you. Soda's unhealthy for you. We don't want you drinking soda. This is what Sean McDermott's basically saying to his kid. But then he walks in with like a gallon of Diet Coke and a liter of Diet Coke. That's pretty much what he's doing right now.
That's Zach Gelb, Infinity Sports Network, and that is probably right. Right? That's fair. He's not wrong to say that. Because the Bills do run it.
They do.
A lot. I tend to think that the Bills wanting it banned, despite having it as a successful play, gives them credibility.
That's what I think.
However, the part about injury being a fear, well, then why do you run it?
Yeah.
Is fair.
Yep.
So McDermott is a central figure this week because of his stance on the tush push, which we expect to get a vote on today. And again, like, maybe it's illegal by the end of the day. I hope
so. Could be.
I hope so. I have a Twitter poll up. You can vote in. You can give us a call on this as well. You know, does the injury risk point really hit with anybody? Or are we allowed to just, I guess McDermott maybe doesn't feel comfortable saying, I think it's lame. Because if you said, I think it's lame, and then someone came to you and said, well, why do you run it? Like, well, because it works.
Right.
Because it works. We're good at it. And we could do it all day till the cows come home, but I don't think we should. I don't think it should be a play in our playbook anymore. But we're going to, you offer me a free yard, I'm going to take it. So we'll see what that comes to today. Jeremy and Nate, good morning. Happy April Fool's Day. Josh played the wrong open. He also had a loved one get him.
Yeah, he got
for the second year in a row. My girlfriend put salt in my coffee for the second year in a row. I don't know how I didn't get it this year, but yeah.
So, like, next year, no shot. She gets you.
No, yeah, no way. I'll just, like, go buy a coffee from, like, you know, just, a local place. And if that has salt in it, then I'm
so
scared.
Is salt in the coffee 2 years in a row? That's the same. It's the same.
Well, see, last year.
She's a one-trick pony.
Well, yeah, no, she's very good at pranks. Like, lots of pranks.
Get you all the time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This day is, I'm on my toes all day long on this day. But last year, I used to put salt or sugar in my coffee, and she replaced the sugar with the salt. This year, though,
okay,
I stopped putting sugar in my coffee like a few months ago. Just, I don't know, I just wanted to stop putting sugar in my coffee. And then I figured, oh, today I'll be safe. I'll be fine. She must have just put it in the cup. And then, you know, I went to just go put it under the coffee machine and walked out the door, not thinking anything about it. And here we are.
To preload your mug with salt?
Yeah.
I mean, that's next level.
Tip of the cap there really.
There was also a like a bubble wrap thing under the doormat outside of our door that I stepped on this morning.
Jeez.
I was awake at 4:30
like
this
shots
morning.
Fired? What are you thinking? You know,
I had no idea. I was like, whoa, like, all right, I'm awake now. This is great. But yeah.
So you take your first sip of coffee, there's salt in it, and you think, now you've got a
the day has begun. And it's this is before 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Right, that was at like 6:15, I think it was. Mm.
It feels like the pranks will only get more severe. I mean, if that's what you're starting the day with, what happens when you go home?
It kind of depends. Like last year, there really wasn't anything much when I got home. It was more so like
you cowering in fear.
Yeah,
Is not the fear of pranking maybe more electric than the actual act of pranking
itself?
Yeah,
it's like an enforcer in hockey.
Yeah,
you got to know that it's there.
It's there.
Today, you know that it's there. And if you prank somebody today, you got to know like it's coming back for you. We're gonna come after your captain.
Do you have something in store for her, or is this just a?
Yeah, I do. I don't want to release the information because she's listening.
That's fair.
But yes, there are plans in the works.
Oh,
but I will say though, I'm a little nervous because like when I went into one of the drawers this morning and all the silverware was gone. So like,
yeah,
I'm a little scared to see what's going to happen. When
you
I
know,
that seems
like,
sketchy.
I'm just saying, at some point, we're going to prank to emotional abuse. There's just a line.
Listen, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, it's just you know,
it's all out of love.
Hey,
it's okay.
I just want to eat some cereal.
Right.
Like, use your hands.
Good luck.
No, it's all in good fun.
That's good. You know, April Fool's has your fake news element of it, and then your
playful
pranks.
Yeah.
I was listening on the way in again like on BEN. They mentioned that last year a couple companies claimed to change their name. Burger King claimed to have Whopper flavored toothpaste coming out. You know, you have stupid things like that. That's fine. What's the go to innocent? It's funny. The person probably can't get mad prank. Because my answer for that, I always like. This is an old kind of sink setup, but the sinks that used to have the little jet next to it where you could squeeze it to water.
Yep.
A little rubber band around that.
So you turn the sink on
it
immediately.
It just sprays you.
Yeah.
To me, that's very tame.
Sure.
Very tame. Who can get that mad? Like, I got a little water on me.
The last time I was April Fool's prank was in college. And a couple of guys on the football team went around to some of the houses around Buff State and put sticky notes, like post-it notes, all over my vehicle. So when I walked out in the morning to go to work.
A vehicle full of post-it notes?
It was, you couldn't see my vehicle. It was completely covered front to back, up to down, all. So that was, I thought it was pretty good. In the moment, I was not particularly amused.
How much time did it take to get them off?
Quite a bit.
Did you go to car wash or just
by hand?
Yeah. All right, well, hey.
I got the windows cleared, and then I was late for it. I drove with a lot of sticky notes on my car.
Trying to think. Don't we all have a prank that, you know, whether it's your...
It's like a go-to?
Your spouse or your friend. You could pull this prank. You know exactly what would set this person off. Like, duh. Do I want to choose violence today? Do I want to go for this?
That's where you get to the escalation part of it, where right. It's like you start off with something tame and they get you back and then you just keep building up and building up.
I wonder, could you later today, 6 p.m., strike? Because once you get later in the day, you might let your guard down.
I think there's a very good chance that, like, post-work day, you've just assumed the worst is the worst is over.
Yeah, what could happen here?
Right.
It's over. We're on to
Cincinnati.
We're on to April 2nd.
Yeah, we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah. 803-0550. Joe in North Tonawanda has a call. Then we've got a Let's Get Stupid that, you know, let's find out how bold we want to get. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Good morning. This is years ago. Lottery drawing was on a Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, man. My boss went and bought lottery tickets for the next drawing with the winning numbers from Tuesday night. Came into work, asked his lady that we worked with, hey, check my numbers, see if I won. She goes, oh, my God, he won. And this lady was super, like, church lady. So me and my other buddy goes, let's not tell him he won. Tell him he lost. You threw the ticket out. We'll say one of us won, and we'll split the money. And she's like, this is, like, church lady. And she goes, no, we can't do that. My buddy goes, it's $12 million. That's $4 million each. She goes, well, maybe.
Oh, my God.
So it was just funny because he got her thinking he won, but then we got her thinking, hey, maybe I will throw him under the bus.
Wow. Thanks, Joe. I usually, as a rule, think the fake lottery, fake scratch-off thing is flat-out mean.
It is definitely mean.
And you shouldn't do it. But to turn the prank on the person and say, what if we don't tell them and we just pocket $4 million? That's tough. When you find out a person would have done that to you, what do you do? How do you come back from that? You were prepared to steal $4 million in lottery from me? Ha, ha, ha. Good one.
Ha, ha, ha.
I mean, you're fired? No?
Okay.
Don't tell him he won. We'll just take the money. $12 million, that would be on the news. No?
Yeah, that'd be on the news. Yeah. You'd get a big check.
Wow. Thanks, Joe. It's a good story.
My cousins did that to my grandfather when I was younger.
The fake lottery?
But they taped it, and then, like, because my grandfather played, like, the lottery every day.
Mm-hmm.
So they taped it. We were there for Easter, and, hey, Gramps, the news is on. We're going to watch the lottery. Get the tickets. So everyone's like, oh, and my grandfather's looking at it. And then he walked away. Didn't say anything to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin, that was when my cousins knew they got him really good, was when he didn't celebrate. He immediately left the room, walked out like he needed to compose himself and didn't want to tell anybody what happened. I'm young. My cousins are old. I'm the young cousin. I felt bad for my grandfather.
Yeah, I,
he got.
I don't.
Bad.
I
emotionally.
Don't.
That, what you're talking about when you said the slippery slope between a prank and emotional abuse.
Yeah. I don't support.
That's tough.
The fake lottery.
I think it's a bridge too far.
Yeah. 803-0550. Have not seen any obvious prank stories today from the brands or anything like that.
Maybe we're just, as a society, we're just getting soft. Maybe we're just, you know, we're about to disband the tush push and today of all days.
Right.
Maybe pranks are dying.
It's tough to believe stuff today, but hey. We'll keep you as informed as we can. Speaking of pranks, let's get stupid.
Oh God,
we got an idea here. Let's do it, Nate. You've been here for Let's Get Stupid, right?
Yeah, I have.
Let's get stupid.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Listen, I'm not sure if this is the best segment we do or the worst.
It might be. It could be both at the same time.
Again, this is Let's Get Stupid, so none of this can be used against us.
If you traded two first-round picks for Myles Garrett and the Chiefs then offered you three first-round picks, would you do it?
You don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
McDavid becomes available this offseason. He says, I'm done. Put together a trade package.
Let's get stupid.
All right. I love that the lead-in is trades. How about that one from Joe? You trade two firsts for Garrett, and then the Chiefs offer you three firsts. Net win, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, take it. All right, here it is. Let's get stupid, everybody. Ready? Let's trade up for Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Think of the beauty of this. The Bills get their stud CB2. Corner and they get to actually say, think of him like a receiver, and we have to be like, yeah.
And I'm sure we could come up with some more perfect fits. But in terms of like the Bills and what they need at receiver, but maybe don't want to invest in because of the need not being maybe like a full-time true number one, you get the glimpses and the like. Is he not the perfect?
Well, there's a again, if we're getting stupid on this, am I trading for two starters or a starter
and a half?
So Matt Harmon, reception perception. We have him on the show in the afternoon all the time. You know, he breaks down receivers. It's pretty much what he does. I have built my entire dynasty receiver portfolio on Matt Harmon's breakdowns, and it was without fail pretty good. His assessment of Travis Hunter is effectively, he is an elite receiver.
An elite receiver.
A perfect receiver prospect. He doesn't even play that much. Imagine if he went full-time, that he doesn't even really go to all the offensive meetings in Colorado. He has the... If you've ever seen Matt Harmon's work, he's got the route tree with the colors. Mm-hmm. And how good are you? And Travis Hunter has the Devontae Adams-esque perfectly green route tree in every route. Route he's good at. He does everything well. His catch skills are amazing. And, of course, he can play number one corner.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were not into two firsts for Myles Garrett because he's a little older, what are you giving up? Two firsts?
Probably your day two pick.
The 30th, two firsts, future firsts, and I don't even know what else. Let's get stupid.
Let's get stupid, but let's also toe the line of being realistic. A fall would have to happen, right? Like, Hig gets to five. All of a sudden, you're at five, Jacksonville's there, and maybe the phone starts ringing at five. What's it take to get up 25 spots?
A lot.
Yeah.
The best example is Atlanta getting to six for Julio Jones.
And they were at...
I think they were at 22.
Okay.
I'll have to check that.
It'd be historic.
Yeah, it'd be the biggest jump ever. And he'd have to get past... Who's five?
Jacksonville.
Okay. He'd have to get past New England, which I don't think he will.
Right. I think they're going to take Will Campbell.
Oh, okay. Then maybe he will get past five or four. What if you were to find out the Bills have... traded their entire draft to the Giants.
For two?
For three.
For three.
Over the weekend, you posted a mock draft where somebody had the Bills trading most of their draft for a second-round defensive tackle from Akron.
Yeah, Toledo.
Okay, sure, Toledo, sorry. Travis Hunter. The Travis Hunter conversation is interesting because, again, he is an elite receiver. He is an elite corner prospect. You've got different draft analysts saying, I'd play him here, I'd play him here. I think it'd be tough for him not to become... Imagine being a part-time receiver that proves to be elite. How is he not on the field every play? How does he not then become a full-time receiver and part-time corner? This is Let's Get Stupid, so we're going all the way here. Could the team that drafts him platoon him week to week on matchup?
Totally.
We feel like we got more of a running game plan, or we're going to beat this team over the middle, or we're down a man in the secondary or the receiver. How will he ultimately be used? Because it seems not possible for him to play full-time on both sides of the
ball. I would agree with that. I mean, even to be – it would be impossible for him to prepare the way NFL players and the way that NFL coaches like to prepare teams and guys in position groups. It'd be really hard for him week to week to prepare to play both ways 100% of the time.
Right.
And I also think in the NFL you'd be doing him a disservice by putting him out there that much.
Matt Harmon, to wrap up what he says, the reality is no one knows, every team has his plan for him, but based on his reception perception data, the film makes it clear he has all the calling cards of a future number one star wide receiver. And I was listening yesterday to Ryan Fowler. Was it Ryan Fowler that was on the afternoon show? Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network.
Okay.
Yep. He's on with Shope talking about receivers and how actually he would put Keon Coleman ahead of Tet McMillan in terms of long term. Like he's a fan of Coleman. And we'll put him ahead of McMillan, who's probably the number one receiver after Travis Hunter in this draft. So that's interesting. The thing about Hunter being an elite receiver prospect, like, where does he go last year? Does he go ahead of Neighbors? Ahead of Adunze?
I wondered the corner piece of this, him playing, being elite at both positions.
These are two of the three most expensive positions, two of the four.
Yeah.
Non-quarterback, it's
defensive end,
edge, receiver, tackle, and corner.
Yeah.
That's the list.
Yeah.
He plays two of those four.
Yeah. Yeah. Two of the most, just by how the league views in terms of what they spend for it, two of the four most valuable non-quarterback positions in the league.
It's Let's Get Stupid. It's April Fool's Day. You wake up the day after the draft and the Bills have traded. What's worse? I mean, the whole draft is not as valuable as, like, three firsts.
Correct.
So the whole draft for Hunter, you're like, fine.
30, next year's first, the following year's first. I think I'd do it.
I mean, I know this is not going to happen, but I just think it would unite all of us.
Surely.
Because
surely,
for those that want the defense to get its corner, like, hey, you did it. And for me to want a number one receiver. Oh, sorry. I know what I was going to get to, that I lost my train of thought there. So Ryan Fowler, the Draft Network, he was talking about not only that Coleman's ahead of McMillan in his ranking, but he doesn't really feel comfortable with any receivers 20 to 30. There's no one there with true number one potential. And the reality is, if there was, that guy doesn't last to 20.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes these teams get it wrong, of course. But if there's a guy that you would ever forecast as having number one potential, the guy doesn't make it out of the top 10. It doesn't happen anymore. Brian Thomas Jr. made it out because teams weren't convinced.
Yep.
And he certainly looks like he has that.
He is,
I mean, yeah. Puka makes it to the fifth round. So you have misses. But if going in, scouts, teams think this guy is number one potential, he does not make it to 30 ever. Which, if you're someone that wants the Bills to ever get someone like this, it's going to take something, probably.
Yeah, like I think about the draft, the Kincaid draft, where you get Flowers, Quentin Johnston.
JSN.
Right. And out of those guys that flew, and kid from Minnesota.
Jordan Addison.
Though there was basically all four went in four straight picks.
Right. And none of them were thought to have true
number one.
They were all good. These guys are good. You know, a slot guy here. Say Flowers had a shot. Like he wins at all three levels. But again, none of these guys have proven to be the freak show stud.
Because yeah.
As soon as you see that, where does the guy go? Third.
Yep.
And that's why, I mean, McMillan is not thought to be that. And he's pushed up the boards because the class is so kind of thin at the top. I was reading Matt Waldman, rookie scouting portfolio. He of this receiver class said there are more draftable receivers this year than last year.
Hmm.
But the top isn't as good. Really, that's how a class is defined. How's the top? If the top is loaded, then all of a sudden your second tier guys are pushed even further.
Yep.
And man, look at this. I'm getting, you know, second round talent in the third round because it was so loaded at the top. Travis Hunter. I mean, I like the idea quite a bit. If the Patriots take him, I mean, that's nice for Drake May. Drake May to have Hunter.
I think the Browns.
Mac Hollins.
I think the Browns should take him, in my opinion. But
how about the Browns just flat out admitting the Deshaun Watson thing was a mistake? Which, of course, like,
well, obviously. Yeah. I mean, are you gonna run for that?
I mean, but the owner flat out say it, like, swing and a miss.
Yeah, and because of that, he is giving the coach and GM like a totally free pass, which I think is a mistake.
Makes sense.
Like I think it's still a mistake.
I think you kind of have to. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, Nate's in for Joe. Travis Hunter, where does he go?
Let's get stupid.
I mean, it'd be exciting. It'd be exciting. Lindy Ruff, top of the hour. Sabres playing in Ottawa tonight. Plenty more going on. We'll keep you updated on owners' meetings, voting from the competition committee, and pushing things to the NFL owners' votes on defensive holding, on the tush push, and on also reseeding divisionally, which does not sound like it's going to get through. So you can give us a call, 803-0550 on WGR.
I'm excited. I really look forward to it. It's crazy because when you ask around, he has a lot of similarities. What people say through the grapevine, he acts a lot like Josh, and you know, that was my guy. So I look forward to meeting and connecting with him.
Steph Diggs from his introductory presser in New England. I saw a viral clip going around the webs of you yelling about Mr. Diggs.
Yeah. Hey, anytime you could have the dollar store version of the real thing, you got to do it.
Well, what are his other options?
Not be such a jerk. Stay here. Just keep trying to go after a Super Bowl. Just keep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Keep taking shots at it.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I look at it, when I look back in hindsight, the Bills ended up making the right move. But I don't think it was a move that they probably would have made unless there was motivation to make it. I think he was really pushing in creating the motivation. So,
right.
I just think is this guy who's built his entire persona around refusing to lose. Not necessarily like needing to win, just refusing to lose.
Just caring a lot about winning.
Caring a lot about winning.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it feels like a lot of his choices after leaving a team that has been winning a lot haven't really been.
Well, he got traded to a team that was thought to be a really good team and a good contender.
Yep.
And had a good year and got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's in free agency coming off an ACL.
Yeah.
And he signs with a team that has had a lot of trouble pulling in any free agents.
And gave him more money than anybody would have.
Probably.
But I just think that it can't really still be about that anymore.
Well, what's he supposed to do?
I really thought it was really from the trade and then the contract redo in Houston that all the writing on the wall was Dallas.
And he didn't do that.
I know, which feels weird in hindsight, because I thought the whole idea, the whole reason that we had to deal with his brother tweeting about him and the Bills and being in Buffalo for 2 years was because, like, okay, we just want to play together.
Are you telling me we didn't have to pay attention to his brother's tweets?
News? Now, in hindsight, you didn't have to.
Now, this is an interesting idea. Don't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to not care about a person's tweets?
I think you can in hindsight. It's hard when you're in the midst of it.
Yeah. Well, part of New England here to me is, good morning, by the way, Jeremy and Nate. I don't think New England's a bad spot for anybody anymore. I mean, Mike Vrabel is an accomplished coach. Drake May. I remove Diggs from this.
Mm-hmm.
I will say right now, take back dollar store version. He is not. Will Levis is the dollar store version of Josh Allen. Drake May is not that.
What is he then?
Drake May is the. What's if we're keeping this metaphor going, what's the right answer here?
Is he Josh Allen Zero? It's the sugar-free version?
No. I mean, I...
Diet Josh Allen?
I am constantly battling my own affinity for Drake May because he plays like Josh Allen and he's super fun to watch. And he makes sick throws, and he runs, and he does all the stuff. He's not as good, of course, but if you're a New England fan, I mean, I'd be really excited.
Yeah,
to see,
especially they should be excited.
Especially if they get Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Like, New England is probably the next challenge to the Bills in the division.
I don't think this year, but I think that they're the next in line.
Maybe not a challenge directly, but would you pick them to finish second this year?
I don't think so. I don't think they're ready for that kind of jump.
Who's finishing second?
I think still the Dolphins.
The Dolphins?
Yeah.
The Dolphins after they trade Tyreek Hill, who looks like he might be on the move again?
No, I don't think so.
I'll put the Patriots ahead of the Dolphins this year.
I'm not ready to do that. They're picking number two overall.
They're picking
number three overall.
That's right.
Whatever it is.
That's right.
And they're doing it because their team stinks. And they added some players in free agency and spent a lot of money in free agency. They have the worst offensive line I've ever seen. And they've added Morgan Moses to it.
They're picking third overall. They picked third overall the year before, too, by the way. So two straight years picking third overall.
Yeah.
Jaden
Daniels. Bad roster.
The Commanders picked second overall last year.
Yeah.
And got their quarterback, and he was amazing and made some. So a leap to competence isn't even that big. I know the Commanders maybe not the best example here because they went from second overall to the NFC Championship game. But I mean, I'm not like I said, the Patriots will finish how many games behind the Bills this year?
Four.
If they finish four games behind the Bills, how many are the Bills winning? 12? Is that 8 and 9?
Yeah. I could see them as a 5. I would think 500 is a maybe probably the ceiling.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a roster that I'm not going to claim I watch a lot of Commanders football or had prior, but you know, that felt like a team that was pretty talented and was, I mean, with terrible quarterback play and got a really good quarterback. And you know, I mean, it was kind of it was a similar roster. It's not like it was a huge roster turnover. This is a big roster turnover, and they're going from historically bad offensive line play to they probably have to take an offensive lineman in the top five. They probably have to.
Unless they take Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Which they should do.
And then somebody can make that graphic of when Joe Burrow is either draft Penei Sewell, and then it's just him throwing the ball, or draft Jamar Chase, and it kind of worked out for them.
Well, what I would do if I'm New England here is I would say, what is harder for us to lure in free agency, a lineman or a receiver? And it is proven to be, I mean, maybe it's both, but they offered Chris Godwin $20 million more than Tampa and didn't get him.
Yeah.
Over and over again, they tried to trade for Ayuk. He wouldn't sign an extension there, so that move got killed. So if you've been chasing that position, if they just roll out Drake May with Travis Hunter, Diggs, who else they have there? Like Demario Douglas, Kayshon Boutte. They have Mac Hollins, who I think is going to be a depth receiver for them more than just a special teamer. I mean, draft your lineman in the second round, rebuild your line. I mean, if May takes any kind of step, which I would expect that he will. He was pretty good last year. I think they'll be competitive. And he's not dollar store Josh. He's, if Josh is, what store is Josh in this scenario? The best store. So Josh is the best store, whichever store you think is the best store. And Drake May is, you know.
The maybe store.
Across the street.
The maybe store. maybe he'll be really good. Maybe he won't.
How many quarterbacks that have not yet taken the step would you rather have than Drake May?
Has Bo Nix taken the step?
You'd rather have Bo Nix.
I'm asking if he's taken the step.
No.
I might.
Okay. You can have your Bo Nix.
Here's the thing with Drake May is I think that the Mike Vrabel move was not the move I would have made if I had Drake May at quarterback.
I agree with that. I mean, Ben Johnson might have been the move I wanted to make.
Yes. What I would have wanted with this quarterback is get this guy a real offensive coach. That's how you get him to, you know. I have the sense that he's just going to be Ryan Tannehill. That he's going to line up under center. He's going to turn around and hand the ball off a whole bunch. They're going to play ball control offense, and they're going to put a giant governor on him. Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen.
Because they have Vrabel.
Yes.
Yeah, they might be right about that.
So, like, that to me, part of it is not just, hey, what's his, you know, vibe? What's his aura? But it's also, well, what's he got to work with? He doesn't have great weapons. He's got a terrible offensive line. And he's got a head coach that wants to play close football games and play defense and run the football. That's not a recipe for, we're going to maximize the stardom of this potential player. It is, you know, maybe this guy will be really good. Maybe this guy will throw for 25 touchdowns this year. And can he play conservative ball control offense? I think it goes against everything he is.
Right. We got a comment in the chat. How many quarterbacks are going to be the next Josh Allen before we stop comparing the only quarterback in history to anyone else? Well, that depends. If you're out here comparing every quarterback that's young and throwing the stats up on the screen about his first 10 starts and Allen's first 10 starts, then you're not talking to a serious person.
Yeah, that's right.
The reason that people say that Drake May plays like Josh Allen is because if you watch Drake May, you look and see he plays like Josh Allen.
He's got Josh vibes.
He runs for 95 yards in a game.
And he does like five loop-de-loops in the pocket and then makes a throw to a receiver in the end zone.
He stands in the face of a rusher and delivers a dart.
And the funniest part about what they did with him last year is slow playing him because of how bad the offensive line was. They were worried about ruining him when in reality he was the only one in that quarterback room capable of playing behind that offensive line and doing anything.
Right. And again, he's got a long way to go to ever be in Josh's stratosphere. But if you hear people say everybody's the next Josh Allen, stop listening to those people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think everybody's the next Josh Allen. I thought Drake May played like Josh Allen watching him at North Carolina. He runs. He's athletic, and people don't give him credit for it. And then, like, oh, look at that. He just ran for 80 yards in a game on us and dropped dimes all over the field. And May also did it, kind of like Allen did early, with dogs at receiver. And if they upgrade a little bit, as soon as they gave Allen Beasley and Brown, and then they go to Diggs and give him a full room, he grows into what he is, and now he proves to be, you know, superhuman. Will May get to that level? I don't think it's likely. But I think he's got as good a chance as anybody. He's super good. He's fun to watch. Maybe it falls apart with Vrabel. You know, coaching's going to matter. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Lindy Ruff, top of the hour. Sabres in Ottawa tonight here on WGR. Two notes for you here. Number one, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team, Saturday, June 28th. Once you join the team, you receive an email to pick up your team shirt and water bottle at Thomas Pro Bikes on Walden in Lancaster. Not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal. Visit WGR550.com for details. Okay, so just saw something moments ago regarding the NFL, and John Aurand, I believe, of Sports Business Journal, has this note. We speculated on this idea, and it is apparently true. Christmas triple header. Bills fans, I don't know how you're avoiding Christmas or Black Friday this year. I don't know how you're doing it. Two Christmas Day games on Netflix, one on Amazon, and then Black Friday as well. I don't know how the Bills don't play on Christmas. Right?
Yeah.
Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And it's, are we ever going to be at home? Are we ever going to talk about, would the Bills close out their stadium, period?
On Christmas?
On Christmas. And then go on the road after that. Last game at Highmark is, well, I mean, get playoffs, but How do the Bills want to send off Highmark Stadium? Pete Gwelly, Bills and Sabres COO this week, part of his comments to Sal and other reporters along the way, it's about this is a year about celebrating the send-off of Highmark Stadium. And I don't know if that includes Christmas Day at home. I don't know if the Bills would not want that. They could play on the road. I mean, their home schedule has juice. What's the rating for a Christmas Day game? Bills-Bengals.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, last year the games were really good games. I mean, it's what, Steelers and Chiefs and Ravens-Texans. Maybe they shift and go more of an NFC flavor there, but yeah. Looks like the NFL going after Christmas Day in full. The NBA likes to say, stay off our day. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. Have a good time. Go load manage your Christmas while the NFL is playing three games that day. Sorry, it's a cheap shot at the NBA, which has owned Christmas for a long time. So three games, looks like, on Christmas Day. Lindy Ruff, Sabres head coach, when we return ahead of Sabres and Senators tonight, that game in Ottawa this evening. So we'll get a chat with Sabres head coach and more of your phone calls as we cruise through the morning here. Jeremy and Joe, Nate is in for Joe on April Fool's Day. We are on the lookout for fake stories to tell you if they're fake. I don't think that Christmas Day one is fake. That makes total sense. Two games for Netflix, one for Amazon. It is a Thursday. So instead of the Wednesday doubleheader, Thursday tripleheader, just like they do on Thanksgiving. Schedule time, keep an eye on it. Jeremy and Nate on WGR.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.